You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
We can turn now to Carolina Contreras Arias, who's got a paper that's co-authored with her colleagues. And she's going to be talking again on the questions of dynamics of collective action, but this time based on her research in Mexican rural community that I'm going to give you the floor. Hopefully you can keep to 15 minutes so that we have at least 15 minutes for discussion and questions.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. And I must confess that this is my first paper and my first presentation ever, so as you can imagine, I'm really nervous. Well, my presentation will be organized as follows. I will first give a short introduction, then the objectives and the methodology. Afterwards, I briefly talk about the organization, and then at the end, results and conclusions will be presented. So I will start the presentation with the question, why is it important to study women collective actions initiatives, especially in the rural areas of Mexico? Well, as you know, it's not new that the Mexican rural areas are facing a feminization process, mainly due to the male-dominated migration to the or male entering to high-paying jobs and remaining in the same... The agricultural activities now are women activities. Jumping alone. Okay. This feminization process is maybe a consequence of the situation that characterizes the Mexican rural areas. Extreme poverty, marginalization, exclusion, food insecurity, and natural resource degradation. So at the end, the women are not only facing the features that small-scale farmers are featuring in rural areas, but they are also featuring discrimination, inequalities, and gender inequalities. So this situation demands prompt solutions that target these rural women. So through the case study, I don't know where it's jumping, I'm sorry for that. Through the case study of a social solidarity initiative in rural Mexico, the aim is to analyze the effects of collective actions on inclusiveness, gender equity, empowerment, and sustainability, with a special focus on asymmetrical gender relations that negatively impact the sustainable development of rural areas. Our case study, the analysis has the final objective to answer the question, what limits the potential expansion of the social solidarity initiatives in rural Mexico? So for this, I did a case study on a network-based organization called the Organización Color de la Tierra. The organization initiated 12 years ago, and it is integrated by 15 indigenous women of the region. These women are committed to the production, transformation, and commercialization of local products like coffee, mojote, rosella flower, pipián, pinole, art crafts, and other stuffs. They base their production on traditional knowledge, the organic principles, and the organic principles of agriculture. Moreover, they offer the service of ecotourism. So the organization is located, as you see in the map before, in the indigenous region called Cuzalapa, in the state of Jalisco, Mexico. This region is in the southern coast of Mexico, and according to the CONOVAL, it's one of the most extreme poverty region. So the study was a qualitative study. I lived in the region for 8 weeks, and basically I stayed at each woman's places for at least 3 days. So during these 3 days, I conducted semi-structured and open interviews. I did observations at their household, but also in the organizations about gender dynamics and power relations. I did one focus group and many informal talks. The design of the research and the questionnaires was based on the livelihood approach framework for analysis, and the analysis of the woman roles were based on Caroline O'Moser, and for this paper I developed our attention reward analysis that I will further explain. So first of all, I would like to explain very briefly that the women who are part of this organization had committed to comply with several activities. For example, the one working day per week of the organization, and events, traveling, meetings, hosting tourist groups, etc. And the fulfillment of these activities mainly required time, specific skills, and some involved travel. In the eyes of the community, these activities mean leave their family besides and the household responsibilities aside. So at the end, this led to intrafamiliar tensions, and specifically tensions with the male partners, but not only the partners, also the male members of the family. It can be the older son or the grandparents. On the other side, filling the activities will reward the woman in the short run and the long run, and at different levels, the individual, the community level, or the familial level. I will talk briefly about this in the later slides. And also not fulfilling the activities or the duties they are committed to will generate tensions with the other women members of the organization and sometimes with external actors like institutions, governmental, NGOs, banks, something. So what causes intrafamiliar tensions? Well, I wanted to show it with this slide. And based on the study results in the region, intrafamiliar tensions are mainly caused when the woman, in the eyes of the partner, the family, or the community, does not comply with what in the region is be considered to the proper role. Where in the slides I had this table, I then listed all the activities, and it was marked which activities really challenge the gender roles and which activities are not challenging these gender roles. So, as you can see, well, you can't see, but as you're supposed to see, being part of the organization, traveling, owning the organization, meeting external actors are considered to be improper activities for women in the region. So this is what causes these intrafamiliar tensions. However, I marked that the training topics, the internal activities of the organization, what they are really doing, doesn't really challenge their gender roles. So I will come back to this point at the end of the presentation. So we have just seen that being part of the organization, better to say being an active part of an organization, causes tensions for the woman involved. The tensions I divided in intrafamiliar, organizational, and tensions with external actors. Basically, the intrafamiliar tensions, I just explained the cost, and basically also gossips in the community about the woman's improper behavior, for example, they are meeting tourists and external actors, lead to tensions among their partners. So these tensions might result in the male provision of their woman to assist or to comply with her duties, in manipulation, sometimes in physical violence, and some other times these tensions exclude women from the community. So at the end, this leads to a poor fulfillment of the organization activities. Results from my observation show that only 3 out of 7 working days were completed without any absence. In average, 1/3 of the women did not assist to pre-organize events. So basically, not fulfilling all these organizational duties caused tensions among the members. So all these, when other women from the group, for example, gossips or feel that they are working or doing better than the other women, then this starts many conflicts, and this affects very badly the development of the organization. At the end, again, not fulfilling the activities would also cause tension with external actors. For example, if their actors are organizing an event, a traveling, a training, and the women are not assisting, they might generate mistrust, or they will not be willing to support projects further. So just a briefly point is that women will always prefer to avoid the intrafamiliar tensions, even though they know they will then face organizational tensions or tensions with external actors. This might be because all women feature similar situations at home. There is a common understanding among the members, and therefore the failures are forgiven or just not even sanctioned. So on the other side, the organization impacts in a positive way the community, the members' households, and their personal development. And as women feel responsible of these positive impacts, they feel as rewarded being part of the organization. So being part of the organization permits the woman to participate in different trainings, events, to travel, to meet different people, to extend their social networks, to expand their knowledge and skills. Besides, in the organization, the women are required to take decisions, to innovate, to talk in public, to share their knowledge, to teach, and for the first time, the women are being heard and socially recognized, which enhances their empowerment, self-esteem, and revalorization. At the household level, the woman mentioned that changes in their gender dynamics are for them the most rewarding impact that the organization brought. Most of the women, for example, now the decisions about expenditures are done by both, the male and the female. The male participates more in the household activities. They learn how to warm their tortillas now, and sometimes they take care of the children. Besides, food safety and food security are more likely to be reached, and education of the family members is improved. This is not only because more income is entering to the household, but also because the woman's access to social networks, to information, permits them to improve their production practices and, for example, their income management as well. On a community level, the existence of organization also In this slide, I just wanted to exemplify what I just said before. So imagine the women are invited to participate in a training where traveling is required. The woman will know that participating will bring with rewards, but also bring tensions. Normally, or many cases, the woman prefer not to participate because this is the most common strategy to avoid these intrafamiliar tensions with their partner. And even though they know they will get other type of tensions. But here my key point is that not assisting to these activities, it means that the woman will miss all the rewards they might get. So at the end, this is an enormous risk for the development of the organization or the expansion of these models. So now I'm at the end of my presentation. So it can be concluded that while social solidarity economics models try to integrate excluded actors in the society, in the case of women, collective actions, this inclusion might also result in their exclusion at a household level and a community level. So in this case, the starting motivation was income generation to alleviate extreme poverty and food insecurity. However, the creation of the organization generated expected and unexpected impacts, these tensions and rewards. The tensions influence the woman's daily life, activities, their personal development, and the development of the organization. And most tensions are generated by gender issues. Most impacts are caused and encouraged by the involvement of external actors, because most of the time they are the ones paying the trainings or giving the credits or are the clients. And change in the gender dynamics is the most polemic, unexpected impact that the organization has brought to the households and the community. So the last one, please, and I'm finished. So in the region of Cusalapa, what limits the potential expansion of the social solidarity are the strong, deeply rooted local cultural norms regarding the proper gender division of labor. Therefore, it is important to understand what these social norms are so possibilities to mitigate these limitations can be found. For this special case, I argue that some possibilities are to reduce the tensions, for example, by involving the male partners in the trainings, or make women to be more aware of their organization's importance by implementing rules and sanctions within the organization, but also encourage women's personal development by organizing activities that further challenge the traditional woman's role. If you remember, or the previous slide where I show that the activities inside the organization or the trainings are most of the time not challenges because, okay, they are going to a training but they are learning how to make cookies, how to cook, how to serve, how to clean, or and this is not challenging the gender roles. So for this community, my recommendations were, for example, to learn car driving, using the machinery, coffee machinery, and these activities. That's it.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.